And he's worthy to be praised. If didn't nobody know, I'm talking about your God. His name is Jesus. Don't make me get specific up in here. I'll talk to you about him. Amen. My God, he's so good to us. Are you blessed this morning? I love that. I love that. Come on, y'all. Give them a hand of praise. You know, all the times you wanted to go to the club and you couldn't go. Come on, son. Oh, y'all act like y'all brand new. Don't make me turn on your taste. But we won't do it up in here. But come on, somebody. You get a chance to praise him in the house of God. Church don't give up everything just because the world doing it. You just got to know when to do what you do. It's the right place for everything. Amen. That was an opportunity and a time to praise God. And I know we all love him just like that. Because he's worthy to be praised. I got a couple things I need to get out the way before we begin with our service this morning in terms of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One, I want to make sure and thank God for all the support and those that made the visit to my sister Darlene Jones, amen. She's at home. God is recovering from her operation on her eye, amen. And we say to God be the glory for being faithful. You know, let me give you a revelation. I feel good this morning. You know, a lot of times because of our mentalities, we don't think right when it comes to the things of God. Amen. So when we go through physical attacks in our body, the first thing we say is the devil trying to take me out. Come on, somebody. And now let's just reverse this a little bit, because your perception would determine your perspective. See, because let's look at it from God's point of view. Your body is operating from the inside out. And there's a lot of things that's happening inside that you cannot see. Amen. You don't know what's going on. But because you're under the covenant of God, your life is under the warranty of the grace of God. So when there's things that go on inside that you can't see, the alarm comes on the outside and tells you you got a problem. Oh, come on, somebody. And so what God does by the grace of his promise to keep you and preserve you, he lets you know what's going on inside of you. And then he takes the devil and makes him become a tool to preserve you. So now sickness is not that which is the enemy trying to take or do something. It's what God is getting out of you because it was in you. So when we have issues and things going on, the Holy Spirit lets us know, and then he tells us to go to the doctor if he choose not to heal us so that he can get it out of you so he can prolong the number of your days. Oh, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. See, I'm not giving the devil nothing. I'm looking for Jesus in everything. And that's the godly perspective about the attack on your body. Amen. That God won't allow the enemy to have an advantage over you, so he will reveal it unto you, even though it's negative in you. Oh, y'all come on. You'll shout later on when you're at home and something hits you and you thank God. Because see, watch this. Watch this. If the Lord didn't reveal it, it would have had an advantage and it could have killed you. But God won't let the devil have the last word on your life. So he'll let you know, even though it's negative, because everything in our life ain't going to be positive. Come on now. We big people now. We done learned that we can go through some things. But because of I'm under warranty, he will not allow the enemy to have an advantage over me. So he tells me this is going on, that's going on. Then he tells me to go to the doctor to get this and that out of me so I can finish my course. I just wanted to share that with you, so I think that would be real helpful, amen. But also I want to thank God for Sister Smith, who she's having back surgery, amen. And God is doing a work on her. She's recovering, and we thank God for all that, amen, because he'd be faithful to respond to our needs. And then we thank God for Sister Rachel Madison in terms of her family members being in a car accident and the Holy Spirit addressing that. I always like to celebrate God in everything because my expectation is of the Lord. I'm not a devil chaser like that. I'm not devil conscious that everything the devil. No, I'm doing what God doing. God already defeated the devil. So I got to lift up Jesus, and here, come on, somebody. Yeah. Also, in my last thing is in regards to our Leaders That Lead conference that's in January, amen, that's in Texas. How many of y'all are anticipating to go? Raise your hand if you are anticipating to go. You're going to go. Glory be to God. Now listen, my thing with this was I didn't, because usually we have it every once a year in October. But they switched it in terms of administratively, and they're going to have it in January. So I did not want to present that to everybody and try to push that on people, because I know your heart would desire to go. But the time don't, you know, you got Christmas, you got New Year, all that. So now if you got it and you desire to go, you got the finance, it ain't a struggle. God be the glory, amen. But I did not want to present that so that it become, because some of us out of zeal, we just want to be where everybody's at, and we enforce some things. Then you come back home and the lights out and the folks chasing you and all that. I don't want us to walk in that, amen. We're going to do everything decently and in order, because we do got a next year coming up, amen. But my heart is as a pastor to make everything conducive for good health, amen. Not just, you know, a lot of folks want to be, you know, wealth, but it's good health. If anything healthy, it'll grow. You know, you can, so if you already, and I'm not, I got a list back there for the hotels and got the date back there. And but I'm leaving it up to everybody to make their own arrangement, because I tried to do that, and that's just not conducive for the timeline. So y'all get together and you make it happen. I would love to know who all going, so or where you, so we can kind of, you know, get together on that line. But I'm not going to try to facilitate it on this one, because time doesn't permit it, and I don't want to get caught up in something that I can't get out of, because I try to be wise in what we're doing, amen. So if you're doing it and you can make it happen, do what you do. That's all I'm trying to say. Amen. Just do what you're going to do, and we look forward to an opportunity time. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, my confession is, you got to be here in January, because God's going to release us. But we're not a broke church. We're not an ignorant church. We're not, come on, somebody, because time out for living like that, y'all. We're going to live according to the grace of God, that every day is a blessed day for us. Even our worst days is a good day, because we're in the wheel. Amen. And I confess that over us daily, that we would do things decently and in order, instead of just wide open, just foolishness. That's how we get so far out of the wheel. Just, you know, amen. So I thank him for that. Are you ready for the word? Well, you know, we are preparing our hearts for water baptism. And we're going to, how many of y'all getting baptized today? Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Okay, good, 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 good. All right. Amen. That's good. And what we'll do is before the end of the service, y'all will be released to go ahead and make your change of clothing, amen, so we can begin to go into that, and we'll go ahead and accomplish that. But for all those that is not getting baptized, I know you already know this, but I just want to explain it again, amen, for the sake of our season or our service that we're in. Let's stand to our feet as we open up our Bibles, amen. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you get there, say amen and give your neighbor a high five just to let us know we all on one accord. 1 Peter chapter 3. All right, I hear too many so I ain't heard a page turn, but I hear hands clapping. When you get there, after you get there, give your neighbor a high five. Amen. Glory be to God. There you go, there you go. They coming in, they coming in. They coming in, glory be to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And let's begin and read in unison, glory be to God. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we bless you. We thank you for the grace of your word. Thank you for the hearers, but most assuredly, God, bless the doers in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You may have your seat in the presence of the Lord. You know, one of the things about the word of God don't profit you just because you have it. The word of God profits you when you obey it. Amen. When you comply it, apply it to your life, and you comply with the ordinance of the word, the power of God becomes made manifested to do signs, miracles, and wonders. You know, the title of our message this morning, baptism does profit. Right. Amen. Because a lot of times we, you know, when it comes to the order of things, or baptism does make a difference. When it comes to the order of things, there is a lot of procedures and steps that we take out because it's inconvenient, or we just don't know the significance. So we say we don't need that. Have you ever tried to put something together or assemble something, and because you don't really know how it go, you make the assessment right in the midst of your application that I don't need that, only to get to find out 3 days, 3 weeks later, I'm missing a part, and it was that part that you laid on the side was the part that you needed to make this transition. Amen? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to slow this down because I want to really get this in. There's different types of teaching. This is a doctrinal teaching. We've taught it before, but I'm going to come from another angle, amen, because I want us to make sure that with clarity, we understand the purpose of water baptism, because it does have a purpose, amen, and the baptism that we're referring to is water. Now, we already taught that there's different types of baptism according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It talks about the doctrine of Christ. And in the doctrine of Christ, one of the main foundational points is the baptisms. Amen. And we've all, if you remember here, if you're not, I know you heard it because I know that God is teaching you, but there's also at least seven different baptisms. How many of y'all know that there's seven? Well, you should know by now. But amen, but there's at least seven different baptisms. So understanding that, then there's a significance in when we use the term baptisms. But now in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's kind of revisit that. Verse 15, it says, because one of the things that we have to understand, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. But he said, be able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's in you. And the hope is not only the eternal hope that we all have. See, this is how we can know the church is one body. We operate in one spirit, one faith, one love, one hope. Because what is that? I don't care if you Catholic, Baptist, come on somebody. I don't, whatever your denomination is, we all have this one hope. And what's that hope? That Jesus coming back. Right. Now, we may not agree on a whole lot of theology, but we do have that one common ground. That's the hope that we all in this, that Jesus is coming back. If you ain't hoping for that, I don't know why you. Come on, somebody. Because that's the eternal hope that we all have, is that Jesus is coming back. But now we need to give an answer for why we do water baptism. And I'm just going to pull out a couple points just for us to have. First of all, what is water baptism for? Because I know we all understand what we're doing, but do you know why you're doing what you're doing? And not only do you know, but why do you need to be baptized? Amen? And then how should we get baptized? Because a lot of people say you can do it so many ways. You can throw the water on them. You can put their finger in the water as long as they make contact with water. But that's not biblical. Amen? Because baptism is a word, is submerged, immerged into. So in order to be qualified to be baptized, you must go down in. But now the significance of being baptized is the prototype of our identification with what Jesus did. Jesus didn't lay on the top of the ground. Jesus didn't sit in the grave and didn't have no dirt on him. He didn't have his hand up, amen. He went under the ground, amen. He was buried. So the baptism is an identification of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because what he did in the spirit is what we're doing in the natural. So if we want the same victory, we have to do the same experience. All right, y'all looking at me like I don't know what we're talking about, and you're going to make me qualified. But I want to work this here. Let's deal with the concept. Go back to verse 15. And let's keep reading. Because verse 15 is the text, but we need to get the context out of the text. Amen? Let's find out what he was talking about when he said that. So verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks it. Amen? Give an answer to every man that asks it. The hope. Come on, somebody. To every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear, and having a good what? Now, see, right here is the reason why you're going to get baptized. Because not only do we understand the significance of getting in the water, not only do we understand the relationship between identifying with Christ, but we got to also understand what is my benefit from baptism. And this is where it says, and a good conscience. We're going to work that, amen? But it says, and having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now let's work with that text just a little bit because I want to magnify. Because here's the concept about water baptism. When you get baptized, you identifying spiritually what happened to you behind the refrigerator. All right. Come on, somebody. Some folks got saved behind the refrigerator. Some folks got saved in the basement. Some folks got saved while they was walking and jogging. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Amen. Some folks got saved at the altar. But that was a private, personal encounter with you and the Lord. That's why you can never say who's going to heaven or hell. Because you don't know when they met God. You wasn't even there. It could have been my last breath. And I said, yes, Lord. I know me and you did what we did on the 22nd. But on the, come on, somebody. On the 31st, I got right with God. But that was a private, that was a spiritual encounter. That's what me and God did. But now what I need to do openly or publicly is to show you what me and God did privately. So now that me and God did that, I'm going to get in the water and all y'all see me get in the water. But watch this. Everybody in here know me. Now, just because I got in that water today, I got right with God yesterday, that still don't change what you know about me. But even more so, it don't change what I know about me. So now what I got to deal with is what? My conscience. Come on. Stay with the text now. This is why the Bible says, and having a good conscience, void of offense toward God and man. See, now my water baptism is going to help me identify and help me resolve and help me contend with my conscience. I've already dealt with my spirit issue. I'm right with God. I'm already working with my soul. I'm in the church. But I still got to get up every morning and deal with my conscience because my conscience is going to replay who I used to be. It's going to talk to me about what I used to do. It's going to try to remind me of how, where I used to go. Yeah. But now because I'm right with God, I am in walking in my current position, but I got to still deal with my old, come on somebody. Yeah. See, it ain't what, see, the Bible says that your own heart condemn you. Have you ever thought about at any point that I'm going to turn back because what I know about me, and this can't be true what he did because I still remember what I did. And now watch this. And everything that he did for me spiritually don't change everything for me automatically. So I'm still got a little trace of, come on somebody, don't get mad with me up in here now. My head still bob a little bit. Now it did happen to me. I'm saved. I still got a little bit of trembling that because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. That means he already is. But old things have passed away and all things become new. So that means that all things is indicative of all your past, all your habits, all your character flaws. They going to become new. They're not new today. So don't look at me all funny when you see me. Because I used to do it 100%. Now I'm down to 60-80. Come on, somebody. I'm working 80-20. And I'm heading towards 60-40. Then I'm going to flip it and I'm going 40-60. Then I'm going to go 20-80. I'm 20% doing it and 80% walking with God. Now one day I'm going to be 100% whole in that area. But now let me give you a revelation. You could not even have the opportunity to make the transition except you had the experience of a relationship with God because you have no authority over the spirit of. Am I working right here? So now the salvation did work because I'm not doing as much as I used to do. Even though, see, I'm not sinless, but I do sin less than I used to. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody stay in the faith, because everybody got you under the pressure that because you accepted Jesus, you shouldn't be doing that at all. I told you I'm gonna walk this morning. I'm not going to shout and spit cotton on you. Ain't nothing. But watch this. But what happened with my conversion, I have been given spiritual ability to take authority over what used to control me. And now, I got the benefit, the privilege, the opportunity to walk out of what I used to walk in. That love don't live here anymore is what I'm trying to say. Adultery don't live here anymore. Drinking don't live here anymore. Crack cocaine, pornography don't live anymore. Stealing, lying don't live here anymore. But now what does live here is my conscience of what I used to do. And that's what the water baptism deals with, is my conscience. Let's go back to the text. Am I helping anybody? Now watch this, verse 16. It says, and having a good, what? Conscience. And having a good conscience. See, now, we got to understand that word conscience, and I wrote it down so I made sure I had it, amen? Yeah. It's sunadisis. It's S-O-O-N-D-A-Y-I-S-I-S. It's sunadisis. And this is the remembrance, the recall, or the replay of a past experience. See, sometimes your conscience can beat you better than the sin. Yeah. Have you ever dealt something and did something that's still dealing with you? Oh, I'm trying to tell you what I'm trying to deal with this morning. You say, why should I get in the water? You better get in that water, because it's a part of the significance. See, water baptism is not essential, meaning that you got to do it to get saved, but it's sequential, meaning you do it after you get saved. Yeah. Oh, come on, church, come on. Is that right? So it's just like when I go on the job, I got hired on a new job. They don't give me the uniform and the badge and all that before they hire me. They give me all that after they hire me. So that's to identify that they did hire me. So when I walk around the place, everybody ain't asking me, what you doing? How can we help you? You can't help me. I'm here to help you. We on the same team. See my... But if I ain't got no uniform, I don't have a badge, then I don't look like I'm a part of. So right here. So it's the conscience is that which is something that is significant or deals with what I used to do. So now, he says right here is having a good conscience, that whereas what? They speak evil of you. Why would they speak evil of you? Because they remember you. I'm making this gospel talk. See, they talking to you because they remember you from the last time they saw you. But they don't know it's a new you. Come on, somebody. Now, you know, I don't know if you noticed that ever since you got saved, you really have not changed in terms of your outward appearance. You still look like, you know, Bouncing Betty. Come on, somebody. You still look like Jim that would. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I know it. I know you think you changed, Casper, but you didn't really change. We still see you. We just don't know that it's still you. And what they really waiting on is to see if you would act like you. Oh, come on, somebody. This ain't magic, y'all, but it did happen. Yeah, we are changed. We are new, but I still look like the same. Come on, somebody. So he says this conscience that they will not be able to speak evil of you, because they're really trying to remember, or they only know you from how they knew you, because they haven't been with you since you made this new change. And some of us ain't did it long enough to even validate that there is a change. So don't be mad with them because they still talk to you the way they used to, because they don't know how to talk to you no different, because that's all they know about you. Matter of fact, they waiting on you to talk to them like we used to. Have you ever been around somebody that you, and you don't, it just don't come up no more? It can't come out no more like it used to. You know, we used to talk and cuss and fuss, but it just don't come out. Now, they trying to identify where's Jesus, but they don't know how to look for him because they don't know the signs. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't. Them are the signs that I'm with him now, and I'm not with them. Oh, y'all messing with. Can I just give you this one right here? Because this is how we really tell and calibrate and take a thermometer of how you're really doing is, do you do any things that you used to do since you don't do them no more? Come on now. You don't have to tell me how many books you write or how many scriptures you know. I need to ask you, where have you been? See, I can test your maturity by your frequency. Yeah, your maturity ain't based on how many scriptures you know, because it's not how many you know. It's based on how many you lived. Because one of the most tormenting things is to know the scriptures and still be in the place I used to go. And while I'm sitting there, I can't enjoy neither one of them. Because why? My conscience is beating me up. Because it's telling me, you know you ain't supposed to be here. You know this ain't you. You know, and while you sitting there, you trying to enjoy them, but somebody talking to you, and they was, what's wrong with you? And then you all, I got to get out of here. And they don't understand what happened because we came in together, but what they didn't know, that this is a third-party communication. Oh, I can feel this here. I feel like Mr. Rogers this morning. This is the third-party communication. And thank God for this communication, because it's the thing that saves me from killing myself. Because right when I want to act a fool, it's talking to me. And now once I get my conscience right with God, I can enjoy the liberty of my Christianity. But if I'm not living right, my conscience become an enemy that I can't get rid of. So it's going with me everywhere I go. And I can't keep. They like, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to tell it to shut up. Because it's talking to me while I'm talking to you. And it's trying to tell me what he wants me to do versus what you want me to do, even versus what my soul wants to do. Let's deal with this. Because, see, I may stay in this one text and just exegesis this text, because I want us to get the context of the revelation that the water is essential. It's sequential to what I did, because if I don't comply with that, I'm going to lose a facet of my deliverance. Let's stay with the text. It says, verse 6, and having a good conscience, that's whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your what? Good conversation in Christ. So they saying, we know you, but we hear you talking. You talking Christ, but we all we know is, so they got to be ashamed, because that must not be him. Look at him. Look at her. That is her. You remember her?
Yeah.
Look at her. Let me see your finger. What's your middle name? What's your sister's name? That is her. But she's talking about him. Yeah. And all we know is, we apologize, ma'am. Pam, I'm sorry I talked to you like that, because I realized something must have happened since the last time I saw you, because you're not responding to the way we used to talk. Because you know how me and you talk, Pam. How mean did you do this weekend? Don't stay with me now, because see, y'all don't talk like, you can look now, go on, straighten up, look good for me, because you know that's how you look now. But we weren't looking like that 4 or 5 years ago. Our flavor was different. Thank God for Jesus. Not only do he save, but he changed your appetite. Because I don't like it like that no more. The Bible says that when the prodigal son, when he came to him, myself. See, because I was afraid and I hid myself. Can I give you a revelation right here? Some of us is walking in an illegitimate. I'm old, you better be here Christmas Eve. Some of us is walking in an illegitimate anointing. Because the scripture says, and I was sharing this with a couple of minutes, the scripture says even when it came to David, and when Jesse went up to, when the prophet went up to Jesse's house to find the anointing, the next king. And Jesse had all these sons, and he paraded them in front of the prophet. Pious and smart, intelligent, pompous, and all the brothers, they went past him, and he said, none of these is the choice that God chose. But David, he says, David, somebody lying. You got to have another son. Because God said the anointing is in your house. The king is in your house. But David didn't want to bring. Jesse didn't want to bring David. Because everybody preached that David was such a mighty man of God. He was a king in hiding. And he was back on the back side of the desert tending to the sheep, which is inconducive of being developed for ministry. All that is true. But that's not really why. That was David's story, but that was not Jesse's story. See, Jesse's story was, here come the king, the preacher's in the house. And Jesse didn't want to bring David up to the forefront because David was not Jesse's legitimate son. See, David was the Jesse son that when Jesse was down there on his way on an assignment, he stopped in one of them deers, and he stayed in too long. And Jesse was messing with that and came up with David because David said in the book of Psalms that I was born in a, and in my mother's sin did she. So David was born in illegitimacy, but yet he was a promise. Yeah, you better watch who you kicking out the house. You better watch. Oh, come on, somebody. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day raise a nation? See, Mary didn't know. The people didn't know. They was ready to stone Joseph because Mary's baby didn't come through the ordinary way. Yeah, every baby in here didn't come through the ordinary way. It's an illegitimate anointing. Oh, can I help you right here? But David was anointed. Because when the prophet came and the man of God came and David came up with sheep dung stinking, why didn't you wash David up like you washed up all them other pretty boys? Because you didn't want nobody to know your shame. So David's testimony before he became a king, he was an embarrassment. Can I preach this gospel right? So when they went and cleaned him up, even though he had doo-doo and dung on him, stinking. Check your Bible. The scripture says when the man put the anointing oil up on him, you know, if I was looking for somebody and I was looking for him, I say, Brother Bungie, y'all seen Brother Bungie? And then, there he go right there. And I say, there he is. Because I found who I was what? But if you check the text says when they put the anointing on David, the scripture says, and the prophet said, this is he. Because the anointing identified the man. Yeah, you wonder why some of y'all getting favor. Some of y'all, they giving y'all extra cookies. Because some people identify the anointing premature. Or they know it before it even manifests. You wonder why things been happening in your life. Because there's been an anointing that was on you even though you were illegitimate. Now you need to come for Christmas for the rest of that. Because some of us is walking in an illegitimacy that everybody rejected you, denied you, wanted to get rid of you. But you was yet anointed. But they didn't know how to identify the anointing because of the illegitimacy of your position. How you got here. Yeah, this was a child out of the marriage. Why we was married, but this is a... But it's still an anointing. Can I help you this morning? But I didn't come to talk about that. I wanted to deal with your conscience. I just threw that in parenthetically while you were sitting in here with me. Now let's stay with me. Verse 17. He says, for it is better If we will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than evil-doing. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, and the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, which means made alive. Verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. Huh? The spirits in prison. I work with that. Everybody in prison ain't locked up. Some of us in prison sitting right up in here. You can leave and go when you want to, but you're still bound. You're bound by this. You're bound by that. Come on, somebody. Because of your disobedience. It says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved, what? By water. Now, you got to understand that, because some people want to preach their doctrine right there. That is water baptism that saved you. No, no. That was the dispensation that Noah was in back then, because Jesus had not came. So that Noah and them preached a waiting on the Lord. Amen. Their salvation was indicative of the coming of the Messiah. They were waiting on the promise. Like John the Baptist preached repentance and remission of sins. But John say, I'm not the one now. I'm just getting you ready for the one. See, you got to rightly divide your Bible. Just because it said, well, that's what I'm talking about. It said water and saved. But then you don't even know what they're talking about, man. Sit down. Just have a seat. Just have a seat. Let the Holy Ghost explain to you what he's talking about. Because all you saw was water and saved. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we talking about over here. Verse 21. It says, the like what? The like what? That word figure is an example. The prototype is a model. It's not the original. So the like figure. Whereunto even what? Baptism doeth also now save us. What? Not the putting away of your filth of the flesh. Meaning it can't get rid of your sin. Oh. It says not putting away the filth of your flesh. But the answer of a what? See, it does help save you. It saves you from killing yourself, because I got right with God. I did get saved. But why am I sitting up in here? My mind. Because your mind got to get baptized. Your conscience got to get washed so that you can receive what grace gave you, because you still got to live with yourself. See, this is what happened to Adam in the garden. Adam said he had messed around their sin, and he heard the voice of God. And Adam said, and I hid myself because I was afraid. How many of us done hid because of what we done? You've been hiding for years. People don't even know who you really are. They don't even know you the preacher's son, the preacher's daughter. They don't even know you've been in church all your life. They don't even know you got a degree in. They don't even, because I hid myself. So I'm sitting amongst them and they don't even know who I am. All right. That's what happened to Jonah. Jonah was on the boat. Them folk didn't even know who Jonah was. They wonder why the power, why the wrath of God coming up on them. And Jonah's sitting up there chilling. They say, somebody wrong up in here. Jonah ain't saying nothing. Jonah like, look, I know what time it is, but I ain't trying to get right. Then he starts seeing folks sacrificing and giving up, ready to kill himself. Jonah said, man, I can't. My conscience ain't going to let me do these folk like that. Stop, y'all. Let me tell you who I am. I'm Jonah. I'm not in the will of God, man. Throw me over. They wasn't even killers. We can't throw you over, man. What is you talking about? Till they really found out he was right. Look, Doc, you can either jump or we're going to push you, but you got to get up off this boat, man. I got family and kids at the house. I'm getting home. Now, I understand when God gonna forgive me, but you wrong, man. Then they start talking, you wrong because you knew you was wrong. Been sitting up here all this time. I done killed Wilbur. Wilbur could have been still living had you have told me a long time ago you was Jonah. How much stuff we done got rid of because of Jonah on the boat? We thought it was this. We thought it was that. We thought it was them. But all the time it was that Jonah who was sitting up there with no fear of God on him. just going to deny the presence of God, just hid themselves. I don't want nobody to know that I'm who I am. I see they giving up stuff. I see they sacrifice. I see they put him out. But I ain't going to tell him it was me. I'm not going to tell him it's me. I'm not going to tell him I'm the one. Because their conscience is seared. It don't even hurt them to hurt other people no more. So they can watch other people go through stuff without even feeling bad. And somehow they watched a cartoon. Oh, God, I got to get it right. Man, you just seen 5 people get hurt. People lost their marriage. And you got it right on a cartoon. You were watching a cartoon. The Holy Ghost hit you. Why couldn't he hit you when I was whooping that boy? You know you stole that money. Why couldn't he hit you when I left my home? Because I'm trying to do the right thing. Because I'm thinking they're doing you wrong. But your conscience is so messed up that you don't even feel nothing. And you let me do them people like that. And you didn't say nothing. That's why we got to get in that water. It's significance of me identifying with the resurrection, death, burial, and the resurrection for my conscience sake. Not only for my past sin, but I can't even sit there and watch sin no more. I can't even partake with another man's sin because it deals with me to see that. Because my conscience is right before God, which is another extension of my spirit. The conscience is an extension of your spirit. My spirit is right. You know, you got unclean spirits. All right. When you start seeing folks that are just dirty, won't clean nothing, room, clothes, come on somebody, car, hair, that's an unclean spirit. Something is going on in there. Then you got a lying spirit. They can lie and know you lying. Everybody in there is in trouble because you're lying. But your conscience won't let you say I'm lying. That's why it's so significant to get your conscience right. I can't even do it. That's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I can't even go to sleep if I do you wrong. I got to call you in the middle of the night. Brother Hughes, I was going to call you by 12:30 the other night. Before I even laid down, I made sure I didn't say it was too late, so I called you first thing in the morning. But I thank God I can't get away with nothing. I think I'm in this thing to win, y'all. I want to make a change. I got to tell my wife, my children, I'm wrong. I missed it. Forgive me, because I can't live with me. I can't walk around knowing my conscience won't let me do it. I know you wasn't there. I know you don't know. Why are you apologizing? Oh, it didn't mean that. But it mean that to me. Because I got to keep my spirit right. I got to get my spirit right. That man of God was preaching. I'm going to let you go. He was preaching on the windows of heaven is open. But you know why the windows of heaven is open? A window is there for what? Not for you just to hold and put something out. It's there for you to see. See, when you give and you live right, you can see in the future. You can't hear unless you can see. Some folk can't say nothing about their future because the windows are shut and you can't see out. There's no revelatory vision. There's no perception about nothing because you can't see. Not get. The window is for your vision. Oh, help me up in here. You better be here next year. I'm talking about from January on down. God is going to put a mandate up on us to transform our life. Because we're in the sea, we're in the dimension, we're in the atmosphere, we're in the climate where God is working. And God said he's going to release, open the windows. You're going to begin to see stuff and get stuff that you... I'm talking about stuff you've been waiting on. You just had to get in a place where the windows were open again. See, heaven was shut. Oh, glory be to God. See, y'all don't think this is real, but the dimension, the heavenlies is just as real as you sitting up in here. If you ever tap into the Spirit of God, you can open up the heavens and bring heaven down on earth in your life, in your marriage, in your children, in your body, in your future. Come on, somebody, in your finances. That's why the fight is on. Because the devil trying to get you to disobey, reject, to deny what God is doing. And therefore you will reject the will of God for your next season. Fight. Fight because you're fighting for the vision of God to be released on your home, your marriage, your children, your finances, your future. This ain't no game. This is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you got to get in an atmosphere of pressure. You got to get in an atmosphere that changes the climate that you're living in. I don't care who living right next door to you. They not going to be experiencing what you're experiencing because you're going to be under the windows of heaven and the atmosphere done changed. We're not the only church in Colorado Springs, but we, look here, it's not better, but difference. I am here by the grace of God to make a difference in Colorado Springs. You're here to make a difference. And that's God's choice. That's not my choice. That's not your choice. That's God's choice. And the way you get in, you cooperate with what God is doing. Quit wrestling. Quit fretting. Quit resisting. Get in the will of God. Oh, don't patty cake. Give the Lord a hand of praise. This is a prophetic anointing. And I'm not just talking about saying something. The Bible says signs, miracles, and wonders follow. If it's happening, you better believe it's God. It ain't just happening for the church. It's happening in your life. It's remember I told you last Sunday, you ain't getting blessed for you. You getting blessed for your children. We're living up under our parents' anointing. You ain't even hit your own anointing yet. You ain't old enough to, oh, glory be to God. You ain't old enough to walk in your anointing. You walking in what your mama prayed, what your grandmama prayed. Come on, somebody. You walking in, oh, glory, glory, glory. Your children. Are inheriting, I feel this here right now. Your children are inheriting an anointing that was up on your grandmama. Yeah, you walking in what she prayed for. You getting what she believed. Your mama and your daddy, they doing everything they doing so you can have a future. You can have a the anointing that's up on your life. Boy, you a preacher by the authority of God. You a preacher by the authority of God. I know you don't want to look at me, but I told you when I first saw you. You a preacher by the authority of God, and you can't keep running. I'm not scared of the devil. I'm talking about this is your life. But watch this. I came here with nobody here. And because of the obedience, look at the people that are here now. Look at the people that's waiting on you to get in line. That charismatic grace ain't for the world. We're living up under what our mom and them prayed for. Oh. If we could ever get in the spirit, not just keep coming to church. If you ever get in the spirit, you'll start seeing things. Boy, I can call some names out. I call some names out that you fighting for your children. You fight for it, and it looked like all hell is up on you. But that's the hell that would be on them if you don't stay in there. If you don't keep going. This is the hell that's up on them. Because you ain't done nothing wrong. God blessing you. He taking care of you. He prospering you. But you fighting for them. Y'all better get with me this morning. You fighting for them. You fighting for them. You ain't just put. This anointing ain't just for you. This anointing is for them. I speak it now. Break the assignment of the enemy that were trying to destroy your life. Destroy your life. I speak life into you now. I speak life into you now. In the name of Jesus. Could it be that the Spirit of God brought this here? We so used to looking at a man or a woman. Are you looking for the Lord? Can you tell it's the Lord? Can you tell it's the Lord doing what he's doing? It's the Lord restoring. It's the Lord putting back together. It's the Lord tearing down. And it's the Lord building back up. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. You got a fresh opportunity. There's a fresh anointing because the Lord is on your side. The warranty of God on your life. There's a warranty on your life. And the devil can't take it. I don't care how many times you fail. I don't care how many times you didn't. And he say you're going to do what other folks couldn't do. Don't you back down or turn around. You're going to be the first to release it in your family. That's your children behind you. That cousins and aunts can walk in this grace years when you ain't even here. Because you made a way. This is bigger than you. And the restoration of God. I'm talking about restoration. God, I say restore back to a God. God, I thank you right now. Everything that the enemy said he took, I speak it back in her life right now. She's on fertile ground. It makes a difference what church you go to, what voice you up under, because life comes back into you. I speak this over you now, woman of God, that everything that they said you can't do, you ain't going to do. Even when they rejected you and said it cannot be so, you're not illegitimate. You're not a mistake. Boy, I feel this. I feel this. I'm in the Holy Ghost. This is not something that, listen, this is a promise from God. This is a promise from God. This is a promise from God. And there's a warranty on your life. You will finish what you start. You will complete it. And I don't care what come against you. Heaven and hell going to bear witness that the hand of God is with you. And the anointing of God to do better is upon you. In Jesus' wonderful name. Glory be to God. You think it was an accident that God brought you here. Now God choreographed your steps to get you back to a place that he can get back up on you what he already released. He made a promise to your mama and your daddy. Some of your parents sacrificed what they couldn't get, what they wouldn't get, so that you'll have a chance to get it because they knew the promise was inside of you. There's a promise that's inside of you that regardless of who said what against you, they can't stop you. They can't stop you. That's a word from God. And don't you quit. Don't you back down. Don't you stop. You better keep walking. You better keep walking because the opposition of the enemy is going to come and try to deter you because he can't stop what God said about you. So if he can only try to turn you around, but don't you quit on God. I don't care how rough it get. I don't care how tight it get. You made a promise, and God made a promise to you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Ma, I thank God that you get to see your children's children walk in the promise of God. That's an inheritance. If you really want to ask her, there's many days she could have done a whole lot of things, but she wouldn't because of the children's sake. You don't even know how you're looking at the will of God. That's your inheritance. Promise of God. We're sitting in the promises of God. Talking about a car and a shoe. It's bigger than that. You're in another dimension. You're walking in what destiny called. Oh, help me right here this morning. Stand up, Brother Bungie. Stand up, man of God. Glory be to God. It's been much fighting. Much fighting. Much fighting. But you listen to what God tell you to do, man of God. Your heart and your conscience is right. And in spite of everything you've done recently, it still don't represent your heart. It was out of your emotions. When we get tired and let go, we give in to some things. But God, I pray a restoration back up on him, a tenacity, God, that he'll tell everything that's not right, everything that's not connected, and everything that's not amen in you to be gone in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready to get baptized?
Hey, all
right. This is the power of God, church. It's not us playing, church. It's not us playing, church. We are the church. The power of God is prevalent. Stand up, lady. Stand up. The power of God is prevalent. The power of God is prevalent. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I speak right now. And I reverse every curse that the enemy have set up on her life. Just through, Father God, generational situations. Even her mom. Even, Father God, I bring this to you today. That everything that she went through, she will not have to go through. She needs a covering, God. And I speak this covering over her today in the name of Jesus. That, God, you cover her. You watch her. And even the things that the enemy said, you will not lose your mind. You will not go under. I declare this in Jesus' wonderful and mighty name. Glory be to God. Clap your hands. Just clap your hands. Just amen, God. Am I doing any good? We're not ashamed of the gospel. It's time that the church become the church. I'm not talking about coming to church. I said become the church. The power of God is in us. You just got to live to where every voice is looking for a place to manifest itself. It's trying to show its significance. The Bible says there's many voices, but you, my sheep know my voice. You got to give attention to the voice of God and let him express himself through you that you can stand up. And even though the enemy say you ain't going to be something, God said you will. Now let God be true and everything a lie. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let those that's going to get baptized, you are dismissed to go ahead and get prepared. Amen. The choir is going to come forth and they're going to sing and whatever they're going to do. And we're going to baptize some folk up in here today. Give the Lord a hand of praise if you believe it.